Hello everyone, welcome to the Champions Rugby Show with me, James Burridge. We've heard from plenty of legends in the European club game in recent weeks who have been talking us through their memories from a quarter of a century of a tournament that has long been the one to win. But for this show, we're stepping into the present day.
Leinster relentlessly march on low with the offload to Kearney.
Inside ball for Itoji. In they go.
Owens needs to work. Oh, I think Tomo might have done that.
Lopez, it must be for Nangalebu. And the Fijian juggernaut splashes over in the corner.
And again, it's McCluskey. Oh, what a finish.
And here go Toulouse. If they can get the fourth try, it's a fifth point, and they do.
Hutchison's away, scrambling to the line.
Slade combining nicely with Hogg, punches it through, he's going to gather this himself, it's Hogg! What an impact!
We're looking forward to watching and hearing many more moments like these, but of course, the COVID-19 pandemic has changed everything. So just how is European rugby going to return? In this special edition, I've been joined by EPCR Chairman Simon Halliday and CEO Vassil Gaillard. Gents, thanks very much for joining us. And first of all, Simon, how pleased are you, how relieved are you to finally be watching live rugby back on the telly in the Gallagher Premiership and the Guinness Pro 14?
Well, delighted, obviously. I think it's been way too long, hasn't it? We've seen some rugby from the Southern Hemisphere, which with crowds, of course, which reminded us of what we've been missing. But just get people out on the pitch again is great to see. And, you know, hopefully we can build from here. It's very surreal seeing rugby being played in empty stadia, it really is. And I think of all sports, it's a sport that engages with its fans more than almost any. So the next step is to get fans back in, but at least we're playing.
Vassil, I mean, the key date is the 18th of September. That's when we see the European competitive action come back with the quarterfinal weekend and the Champions Cup and the European Rugby Challenge Cup. What challenges, though, do you have getting this season back up and running?
Well, simply put, the main challenge is, well, one is most definitely unprecedented in our 25-year history. And it's about delivering 14 critical and decisive matches in a highly volatile and unpredictable environment. Obviously, with absolute sporting integrity and consistency across several territories. So, in short, we need to harmonize while remaining reactive and adaptable to local situations. So it's a difficult equation, but I suppose we are on it quite strong. So as you would expect, amongst other things, we're facing, well, different and evolving sanitary situations in each of the given territory. We're facing travel restrictions for many of our stakeholders, including the teams. And we're facing a requirement to coordinate calendars with the leagues, obviously, while making sure that all the broadcast remains as strong as possible. And so on and so on. So it's all relatively tricky, but we are firmly on it.
Simon, for you, what's the toughest bit about coming back?
I think it's really trying to create the narrative that was discontinued when obviously the virus caused all the games to be cancelled. You know, when you have such a period of inactivity, so much uncertainty, as Vincent's alluded to, and all the different types of processes you've got to get through just to get a game played, I think it makes life very difficult. And obviously, we've all accepted that's where it is now. So we'll be doing our best, as all the leagues are, to, you know, get the interest going again, to give people the chance to watch sport that they love.
And when we do get back, there are going to be some cracking matches, aren't there?
That was what was so tragic, that the quarterfinals of this year's competition, the best that we've ever seen in terms of the lineups, and actually that goes to the Challenge Cup as well, which got some incredibly strong fixtures. So the right sort of teams have got through to the latter stages, and the quarterfinal weekend is actually, in my view, is the best weekend of the Rugby Canada, full stop, including internationals. Let us hope, all things being well, that they do get played now.
And Vincent, let's talk about next season as well, the 2020-2021 season. How different are the challenges there? Because you would have had some sort of time, won't you? You would have been able to see for yourself how rugby can adapt in different European countries. But then we're talking about the next season as well, and no one really knows where we're going to be come November, December and January.
No, that's fair enough. We are facing the challenge of adapting to a world, or certainly to a sport in the rugby world, that is being impacted by an absolutely dramatic sanitary and economic crisis. So it's challenging. It requires flexibility, vision as much as possible, but through a bit of a crystal ball, frankly. So Concretely, as you will know, the pandemic has led to, first of all, to the abandonment of the top 14. The Pro 14 qualifications, or classifications rather, were taking after 13 rounds, and the Premiership is leading to a conclusion only now, right, as we know. So it's a bit unfair, first of all, to qualify clubs for next season on the basis of incomplete championships. So we've created an entirely new 24-team format for the Heineken Champions Cup, which will include 8 clubs from each of the 3 leagues. All that on a one-off basis. Usually, the tournaments are played over 9 weekends, but this year's final taking place on what would have been round 1 next season, we've had to reduce to fit everything in. So it will be over 8 weekends for 2021. And as I said, with a very exciting format, including home and away quarterfinals, which we are particularly excited about. Really, the bit of a crystal ball, as much vision as is possible to have in that context, and trying to work very, very closely with our 3 leagues to make the best of it all. And I really believe we got to a good place at this stage.
Simon, Vincent's talked there about the structure, but if you're a fan, you know that European rugby is about to start and a new season is about to start. But what main differences should they expect next season?
Well, there's obviously the visible fact that there aren't as many weekends and there are only 4 pool matches. But I think what people will see is 2 home and away matches in the pool stages, which are going to whet the appetite. And it's a well-described format in any case. Obviously, it works in football very, very well. But I think that the context of seeing 4 really, really strong games in the pool stages is going to be very exciting. And as Vincent's alluded to, the home and away quarterfinal just adds more excitement to what's already a great weekend, as I described. So I think, in actual fact, in a season that is already going to be remarkable, truncated, that actually we've got something which is really going to work well. And of course, the top 8 teams from each of the 3 leagues. The leagues have become more and more powerful over the last few years. So you've got the best teams. Before you had a situation sometimes where a team that was particularly well regarded perhaps had a bad end of season and tipped out of the top 6 that didn't make it in. Everyone's evolved this coming season. So it's a pretty exciting prospect.
Vincent, what do we need to know about the Challenge Cup next season?
You need to know that here also we have created a really exciting and innovative new format. So it will involve a 14-team preliminary round over 4 weekends, and then a round of 16 played on a straight knockout basis involving the top 8 qualified clubs, plus 8 clubs dropping down from the Champions Cup, whose European adventure will continue. The fixtures will be preset based on league classifications, so there won't be any requirement for a pool draw, and we'll be able to tell fans the fixtures quicker than ever before. So the 2 tournaments promise to be hugely exciting and intense. And even though we have been forced to change because of the situation brought about by the pandemic, we are looking at next season as an opportunity for players and clubs and, most importantly, the fans.
And Simon, we've also been hearing a lot about a World Club Cup. Now, what can you tell us about that and how it affects EPCR's place in it?
Well, we've always had written into our heads of agreement the opportunity for the champions of the North to play against the champions of the South. And on a few occasions, we've investigated whether that was feasible. Obviously, the chat of a Club Champions Cup has grown, and we at EPCR have decided to look at it. We've got plans that we're formulating. There's a lot to look at in terms of the feasibility, but the board basically allowed us to pursue this. That's what's happening. And much, much quicker probably than you would have imagined, because everything's been done more quickly. The crisis has brought forward many plans, because we do need to find solutions for innovation and competitions that can work for people. So there's a lot of appetite in the North and the South for this. EPCR is excited about it and looking to include it in its plans for the future. So that is being worked on along with many other things.
Vincent, it's really an exciting prospect, isn't it? Because before COVID, discussions, negotiations in rugby were lengthy, weren't they, about anything. It took a long time for something to get agreed. And this potentially could change the face of club rugby in both hemispheres, couldn't it?
Undoubtedly, yeah. I mean, I can certainly tell you that, all at EPCR are very, very much looking forward to putting this on, right? And ultimately, being able to deliver what fans have been long dreaming about, right? You know, amazing and challenging clashes ahead for our clubs, for our players, great content for our broadcasters and our commercial partners. So all in all, a very, very unique sporting spectacle that's coming to everyone soon. So yeah, a lot of excitement being generated for sure.
And in an ideal world, when would you love to have something more concrete on this?
I think it's realistic to consider that our first edition could take place as early as 2022. A bit aggressive, perhaps, but possible. So within the next two or three seasons, in any case.
And what I find fascinating is that the discussions just seem to be across the board a lot more proactive now. You know, COVID has changed things, hasn't it, in terms of how plans are made, how seasons are structured.
Yeah, you're right. It has brought a whole lot of challenges, as we've alluded to earlier, but certainly has and is creating new opportunities for rugby as a whole, frankly, not just for us, but certainly us as part of it all. And this is one of the things that we are considering. We also are discussing, in the broader context, new competition formats for the future, right, for the Heineken Champions Cup, but also the Challenge Cup. So, yeah, there's an interesting mix of challenges and concerns, of course, legitimate because of the economy and the sanitary situation, but also excitement coming of all these various things which we've discussed and the various partnerships that we have created and improved over the years with Heineken in particular, but also a few others. So it's, yeah, very interesting times for sure.
And we're doing this podcast to celebrate 25 years of European rugby, you know, the best rugby in the Northern Hemisphere. What do you think, Vasa, have been the major achievements of EPCR in that time? What have been your highlights?
First and foremost, the major achievement is on the field of play. The new formats that we have developed about 6 years ago have proven to work very well. And we have quite simply been able to feature the best and most intense club rugby in the world. And that clearly is a huge motive of satisfaction. In parallel, we have experienced a massive growth in audience and in reach in our domestic markets, but also in international markets, North America, Japan, South Africa, Latin America, and also nearer to us in Europe, in Spain or in Germany, for instance. And that's all thanks, well, on one side to a progressive media and digital strategy, right, combining pay TV, OTT, and quality free-to-air, all with great long-standing broadcast partners, but also new ones. But that's also thanks to a pretty major change in approach with finals locations, right? With Bilbao and Newcastle and Marseille, which as examples, which has allowed or is allowing, in the case of Marseille, to reach new fans in new places. We've also brought back Heineken at the highest levels of the Champions Cup, and very glad we did, because frankly, there's not too many sports competitions out there that have the chance to be associated at the highest levels with such great brands and corporations. And perhaps on the more corporate level, we have firmly established EPCR in Lausanne, in Switzerland, which now provides an efficient and very neutral base for all us to operate from. So all very much onwards and upwards from here.
And Simon, what about you? The last 25 years, what have been your highlights?
When you go back to the very beginning, it was clear that the gap between club rugby and international rugby was massive. And the Heineken Cup in its sort of original phases it was almost like a bridge between club rugby and international rugby. And I think what you've got now, echoing what Vincent said about the on-field of play, is that the clubs have got bigger and better, the leagues have got bigger and better, but they've all reserved their best efforts for the Heineken Champions Cup. And that, you know, we talk about it being international rugby in club jerseys. It really is. And when you talk to people about international rugby, obviously they care to put on their national shirt. Of course they do, but the people that it was their day job now because the game's gone professional, the people they actually play with, train alongside, know the families of, that they play in that stadium, it means so much to them. And I think it's given people who aren't that exposed to rugby a chance to see the very best players in the world performing, and the atmospheres have been great. So you look at all that and you think that that's real gold dust, and you want to keep it. And that's the challenge over the next 5 to 10 years, is to maintain and grow that, even as the game continues to proliferate around the world. But we've got something special here.
And Simon, if you had one message for the fans listening to this now about the remainder of this season and then the new format next season, what is it?
Well, first of all, we're trying to get as many of you safely into the stadium as we possibly can. I think that's starting to happen in a very small way, but let's hope by the time we get to our final matches that more and more fans can get safely in and out of the stadium. If not, then the broadcasters are doing a fantastic job and you'll get a great product on the television. And these games are very exciting in themselves, for sure. So everyone will be looking forward to them. And for next year, I think that the formats will prove to be very successful. And you'll see some incredibly good matches. Hopefully, the home and away clashes in the pool matches will be compelling viewing. The home and away quarterfinals, very excited about that. So, yes, it's a shorter format. The whole season next year is going to be quite tricky because it's very transitional. But I think within that, we've got a wonderful tournament coming up with the top 24 teams and an innovative drop down into the Challenge Cup, which is getting stronger anyway, because all of the teams in all three of our leagues are year by year improving. So it's still a great thing to look forward to. I just hope we can get back to some sort of normality and get the fans, who mean so much to us, into the stadiums where they belong.
Absolutely. And a final thought from you, Vassar, about, you know, the key things that fans should look out for this season and, of course, for the next.
Certainly looking forward to rugby being back on TV and in stadiums. It is all going to be in a slightly different environment as usual, but I am extremely confident that the quality of the rugby itself on the field of play will be as intense and as strong as ever.
Well, Vassar, thank you very much for joining us, Simon, too. And, well, we can't wait for the European weekend to start all over again on September the 18th. Stay well, stay safe, and we'll look forward to seeing you both again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So five clubs from European Cup's Roll of Honour remain on track to lift the Heineken Champions Cup with 13 titles between them. Seven are on the line in Dublin when Leinster take on Saracens in a repeat of last year's final. Joint record winners Toulouse are still at the party, and Clermont, Racing and Exeter Chiefs are looking to stick their names on the trophy for the first time. Thank you to Simon and Vassar for explaining how the exciting new season will look, a dynamic transition into an intense four-week pool stage, an exciting home and away quarterfinal, and 24 clubs vying for the biggest trophy in club rugby. Until next time from me and all the team, goodbye.
Conan controls, then drives for the line himself. He's held up by two Saracens defenders, but maybe not Sean O'Brien. Still not there just yet. Furlong. Dennis is there, and the old soldier, Tyne Furlong, who led the side out at the start, gets the try in the final at St James's Park. Still Saracens with hope.
Yeah, they've got to start playing to the post, which have gone the other way.
Farrell pops it up, and Maitland scores. All heart, all character from a team who were on the ropes. Saracens with the opportunity to go in level at half-time. Leinster looking for some heroics from the seven-man defensive scrum. Luke McGrath on his toes, eyes wide open. Billy Vunipola driving for the line, scoring. An eight-point lead in the final. Sexton. He'll carry on playing until the referee tells him to stop. Carney. Lassoud in midfield. Jackson Ray thought he had it. And Skoltberger wins it back. Vincent Cock tries to find touch. Does. There will be no fifth Eurostar stitched into Leinster's jersey this season. It'll happen one day, but not today. Instead, it's a third win for Saracens. Saracens European champions.